Now you should see my slides. Cool. Thank you. Thank you for a kind introduction. As you were already told, I'm showing you about SkedX, and I have sticker slides, so and t-shirts, whatever. Anyway, let's get started. You probably all know that we have multiple CPUs in our systems. For example, in this system, I have 8 CPUs, but I have multiple tasks. For example, I have probably like 8 IDEs or something running. And so what we now want is we want to schedule these on the CPU. To make it easier, we say we have only like 2 tasks, and we have only 1 CPU, like in the olden days. And what we want to do, we want to run both applications or both tasks. These tasks might be processed, they might be threads or what else. And so what we could do, we could just run task 1 all the time, but this wouldn't be fair. We would be starving task 2 and it wouldn't be great. So what we usually do, we schedule task 1 for a bit, we schedule task 2 for a bit, then we're like at task 1 and we schedule it, but then task 2 doesn't want to come because it's probably waiting for, I don't know, database connection. So we schedule task 1 again and so on. And that's essentially called scheduling. The thing with scheduling is really nice and everything, but the only problem is it's in the olden days, like before Linux 6.12, it was really hard to create your own because as someone told me who is in the know, he told me like, yeah, it was like 3-4 people in the whole world knew how to do it. It was a cane code. That was pretty much a problem because we stifled innovation with this. And so what's nowadays is that we can create our own using the scheduler extensions and eBPF. You probably all know about eBPF here, so I won't be going into details, but I tell you now about SkedX a little bit. So what is SkedX? It's essentially the scheduler extensions of the Linux kernel, which means these are extensions made to eBPF, like you, for example, know the XCP subsystem with which you can write packet filters or other subsystems like the Linux security modules. This is essentially the same, but for scheduling. The person that you see here with his halo is Tejan Hill. He worked tirelessly to getting this in, and I quote him here with what he thought was the most important stuff about SkedX. He said, the benefits are of one, the ease of experimentation and exploration. I can show you here on the slides a full working scheduler that can run a whole presentation. It allows us to customize because we can write our own scheduler. We're not stuck with like EVDF that's in this kernel. It's cool, but there are some instances where we might want to have a different scheduler, and it also allows us the rapid deployment of schedulers. The main thing is, as someone told me who did some kernel development, was like, yeah, in the olden days when we wanted to write a scheduler and deploy it, we had to restart like 1,000 machines and then wait. Of course, before we had to recompile the kernel and everything, and that's terrible. So we get all the benefits of eBPF in the scheduler world, and that's pretty cool, and it allows us to make rapid progress, as many of you have probably seen, because like the BPF schedulers are beating schedulers in the gaming world, for example, and it's pretty nice. So I want to show you the simple scheduler dance. It's essentially how a basic scheduler works. More complex scalers have more things, but this is like the most basic version. So on top we have our tasks, they come in. And then we have essentially two kinds of queues. We have global queues that our scheduler uses to have state. These can be priority queues, or usually they are just simple queues, as you know them from computer science classes. And then we have local queues. These local queues are assigned to CPUs, so every CPU has a local queue. And what we do when a task comes first in, it's like going into the global queue, usually, and then every time a CPU is like, I need some work, or we tell the CPU, you need some work, drop everything you do, it's called kicking, so we literally kick our CPUs, which is kind of impolite, but so what we do when the CPU asks us, hey, give me a task, then we're like, we're using our totally cool new algorithms, ask the global queue for a new element, and then we're fine. And then when the CPU is like finished, and it's like with the tasks, because tasks run in a specific time slice, as I showed you in the beginning, then the task goes back into a global queue. And essentially this dance, how we choreography of this dance, this is what we do with scheduler extensions. And the cool thing is, it's highly abstracted, so you don't have to implement the priority queue, you don't have to implement all the nitty-gritty details of how the signals work in scheduling, which makes it usable. And even though best thing here is that whenever one task is stuck and not executing this PyResponse for like 30 seconds, then Linux is like, 30 seconds is almost infinity in scheduling. I just kicked your scheduler, and it's really nice. And I can't tell you how often this happened with this machine. And it's cool because you don't have to restart the system. After 30 seconds, even if you do some crazy mistake, it's back normal. And it's cool for live demos, I can tell you, as we see in a minute. Anyway, so essentially how our basic scheduler works is we have here our NQ hook. That's essentially called whenever a task is like, I'm ready to be pushed on. Then we have our main scheduling queue, and then essentially we move it to the local queue, and then we have an NQ hook. The NQ hook is also called when the task is like finished with its time slice. Be aware that there have been name changes, so the names they show you here are the 6 to 30 names. They were changed because the old names were pretty confusing, because there were two things that were called dispatch. I can tell you, that's not great, and then we changed it. That's cool, and I had my part in this. It's a really cool community. If something is confusing, you should just tell them, and in the end, you see your name on the kernel mail list. Anyway, so these are the name changes. I don't go over them. It's just when you see existing examples. But the old names works because, as we know, EPPF is like stable and such. So how? So now to our schedulers, a basic scheduler works. Basic FIFO scheduler works essentially by we get tasks in the same order they get in, we take them out. It's pretty simple. It has advantages because we don't we schedule them in like a deterministic fashion, but they're also not that great. As we probably see now, if everything goes correct. So here you see a simple scheduler. Before it's just some definitions that we need, but they are not important. So what we start with creating our scheduling queue. So in the init method, we create our scheduling queue, and we can then use it as our global queue. And what we then do, we have the end queue. As I told you, that's when the task is like ready, and it's like, I want to be scheduled, please. And then what we do, we compute the slices, like the amount of time that the process can run at the time, and then we insert it into a local queue. Here we just, and then we insert it into the global queue, as I told you before, and then take it out later. The cool thing is here, the slice is in microseconds and in nanoseconds, and I can show you later what happens when we make it a little bit larger. And you can see the direct effects. What you usually want to do is, and what makes the scheduler somewhat